Intergalactic Cultural Competencies, written and read by X-Man Hater. Zeb rarely found the close living quarters on the Ghost to be a positive, but he did really appreciate that it meant he already knew what naked human men looked like before he started sleeping with Callus. He doubted his horrified, "You mean you can't put it away? It just all flaps around out there all the time, waiting for someone to smash it?" would have helped to set the right mood. It had made Kanan laugh raucously, but he suspected Callus would have had a different reaction. Even knowing what to expect, their first time had combined a lot of careful exploration with all the energy and lust of their desire. They figured things out. Over time, Zeb stopped being so cautious, and Callus stopped pushing for more than he could actually take, given their differences, and they both gradually started asking for what they wanted, instead of assuming they couldn't have it. It was good, Zeb thought, even if humans were the least well-designed sentient species he'd ever come across. It made zero sense to have orifices used for both pleasure and waste disposal, even if it wasn't at the same time. Then they had the family planning conversation.
"You're going into your what?"
Zeb frowned.
"My heat. My fertile period. The time when I could have a baby if I don't take precautionary measures. What do humans call it?"
Callus sat down abruptly.
"Human men, generally, though not always, do not have the ability to make a baby with another man of any species. It has never crossed my mind to worry about accidental pregnancies with you."
"You sound like you're reciting a textbook," Zeb snorted, and sat down next to Callus on the thin bunk. Appearing to regain some composure, Callus sighed.
"I am third-year human sexuality. Sorry to ruin your entire worldview. Again."
Callus laughed, leaning into Zeb's side.
"It is what you do best. Well, you've started. You may as well continue."
"I'm actually a little worried about humans," Zeb said, only half-joking.
"How do you even reproduce yourselves?"
"Women generally carry our young, and men only contribute to the fertilization process. It's not very common for men to be able to carry babies, or for women to just provide the sperm, although it can happen, in very specific circumstances. And we don't have fertile periods as such. We can make a baby anytime, for the most part."
"That sounds inconvenient," Zeb said.
He was not surprised. If humans could make anything unnecessarily complicated, they generally would. Callus smiled.
"We make do," he said. "But you've got me curious now. Where on earth would you carry a fetus?"
Zeb scratched his head. What the hell did the people learn in the Imperial Academy anyway?
"The usual way, in my pouch."
"Your pouch," Callus repeated. His eyes zeroed in on Zeb's stomach.
"Yeah," Zeb replied. "We've all got 'em, men and women. Want to see?"
He reached up to pull down his top.
"Yes," Callus said faintly. "Yes, I think I would." "You can't really see it well unless it's being used, but I'll show you where to look."
Zeb finished taking off his clothes. Maybe if he played his cards right, this could turn into a hands-on demonstration.
"This is technically the second pouch. The first one is where the baby starts developing."
"The second pouch," Callus repeated, hands wandering nicely down Zeb's torso.
"Naturally." "The first one's internal," Zeb continued. "That's where the fertilized egg goes to start developing. After a while, the fetus moves into the second pouch. That's where the milk glands are, so it can keep growing."
How do you give birth?" Callus asked. He was still staring.
"Give birth?" Zeb asked.
What the hell did that even mean? Humans were so weird.
"How does the baby get out when it's ready?" "Through the pouch," Zeb said, very patiently in his opinion. "I'm beginning to feel as if my education was severely limited," Callus said after a moment. "I may regret asking this, but how does the egg get fertilized?"
Now it was Zeb's turn to stare.
I think you know that one," he said. "We do it often enough."
There was a brief, pointed silence.
"I haven't been fucking your ass," Callus realized, and Zeb nearly started laughing at the look on his face. No, he replied, keeping his chuckle as short as possible. That's a human perversion. I like it, he added hastily, as Callus started looking peeved. But, yeah, I dispose of waste differently than you. More sanitarily, he thought, but he was smart enough not to say that part out loud. So, the only reason we don't currently have quite a lot of offspring running around is because you haven't been fertile before now, Callus said thoughtfully. I guess, yeah, Zeb said. So we can do things the other way around for a while, or use protection. Callus nodded. I see. Time for a little human perversion, then? Zeb growled in pleasure and started getting Callus naked. After that, Zeb spent some quality time with the Hollownet learning about human reproduction. He couldn't very well keep making fun of Callus not knowing Lasat biology, if he couldn't say he knew at least the basics of the human equivalent. It was disturbing, to say the least. Human women have to push their young out of a hole so small some of them die from it, he said, horrified to Callus one night. They were both on a rare break from off-planet missions, taking advantage of their time together on Yavin before one of them got ordered elsewhere. Callus looked up from his datapad and grimaced. You should probably stop looking these things up if they're going to get you so upset, he said. We've been managing to reproduce successfully for millennia, so it can't be that bad. Zeb snorted. Spoken like someone who will never have to shove another human being out of their body. I'm sure human women would agree with you, Callus replied. But I don't see any human women around here, do you? Where's Sabine? Zeb said. She'll take my side. Mandalore, Callus replied, putting down his pad and joining Zeb on their bed. And I'm sure she would. But do you really want to spend our break arguing about human reproduction? Zeb saw the sense in that and put aside the rest of his arguments on Lasat superiority to focus on demonstrating them instead. He didn't stop his research, though. Did you know that depending on who humans fall in love with, they can't have biological younglings? He said one day to Hera, while they were repairing the ghost's hyperdrive. Well, yes, Hera said. It's the same for Twi'leks. Sometimes you don't end up with a biologically compatible pairing or grouping, and even if you do, sometimes it just doesn't work out. Zeb dropped a wrench and swore. Are Lasat the only well-designed species in the galaxy, or what? He added as Hera stared at him. We manage, she said with a wry grin. There's adoption and surrogacy. And not everyone even wants to have younglings, you know. Yeah, I know, he said. Just feels weird to me that you don't always have the option if you want it. Are you and Callus thinking about younglings? Hera asked, and Zeb dropped the wrench again. Carabast! Hera smiled knowingly and slapped the hyperdrive casing as she finished the last tweak. I won't say another word. After that, Zeb's research took on a new and terrifying practicality. Did he want a youngling? It had never seemed like an option, not with the life he had been dealt by the universe. Also, he knew Ezra, and that seemed like a very compelling argument against reproducing. He thought about going back to Hera to ask her if she'd ever thought about it for herself, but before he could, it came up organically with Kanan. "He ever think you'd end up with the world's most hyperactive Padawan?" Zeb asked, while they watched Ezra completely demolish a training droid without pausing his rant about Chopper's uselessness. Kanan grinned and shook his head. I didn't think I'd get a Padawan at all, he said after a moment, in a much more solemn tone. Yeah, suppose not, Zeb said. None of them had the future they'd planned for as adults, and for Kanan that was a good thing, most of the time. Do you ever think about having a youngling with Hera? Zeb almost bit his tongue when he realized what he'd said. They didn't talk about Hera and Kanan's relationship, and they definitely didn't talk about the fact that it wasn't just a friendship. But Kanan didn't make a joke or leave, just sighed. I think about it a lot, he said eventually, shaking his head again. I wonder what my master would say if she could see this future, if she'd agree that we have to change to survive. I think I want younglings someday, if Hera does. I want to teach more people when there's peace. But my first responsibility is to Ezra and to the Force, and I don't have a good track record of predicting what that means 5 days out, much less 5 years. That's true, Zeb said, and ducked the SWAT Kanan aimed at his head. You thinking about younglings? Kanan asked, and Zeb groaned. Trying to hide things from Kanan was as useless as trying to hide them from Hera, though for totally different reasons. We can't handle younglings right now, he reasoned. We're only a few years into being able to handle all the adults. Maybe, Kanan replied. But maybe we're not as far from that as you think. Maybe, Zeb said, and then he had to go stop Chopper from getting sliced in half by taunting Ezra. They had enough trouble managing an almost adult and a crotchety droid. How would it be safe to bring younglings into things? But Kanan was right. Things were getting calmer every day, and surely his younglings wouldn't be as obnoxious as Ezra or Sabine had been as adolescents. He also felt somewhat of a responsibility to help the Lasat species continue, even if he wasn't truly the last of his kind. He wanted to teach someone about the culture and history of Lasan. He wrestled with the idea by himself for weeks after talking to Kanan, before the obvious occurred to him. He couldn't reproduce alone. Not even Lasat were that good. "Do you want younglings?" he asked Kallus, as soon as he realized he needed to. Kallus set down his mug of calf without taking a sip. "Do I want younglings?" he repeated, a stunned look on his face. "Yeah," Zeb said, running a hand over his head, trying to calm his nerves. "Things are quieter now, and I thought maybe it was time to think about it, but I didn't know if you wanted any, and..." Kallus kept staring, and after a moment, shook his head. Zeb hadn't known how much he wanted the answer to be yes until it wasn't, his heart sinking. "Right," he said gruffly. "Okay, that's settled. No younglings." Kallus startled in his chair. "What? No, I didn't. Wait," he said, reaching across the table and pulling Zeb's face up to look him in the eye. "I forgot it was an option," he said quietly after a moment. "Oh," Zeb said, and felt his entire body relax. "You ever think about it before?" "I never expected I'd be able to have that kind of family," Kallus said, wistful note in his voice, and Zeb remembered that even if Kallus could have found a partner who wanted to adopt a youngling, it was pretty unlikely that a dedicated career ISB agent could ever have made that work. "But you wanted one." "I... What if we're terrible parents?" "I don't think we'll be terrible," Zeb said. "I mean, we'll make mistakes, but come on, we're a good team." "One of us has the benefit of remembering their own parents," Kallus reminded him. "And it wasn't me." Zeb took Kallus's hands in his and squeezed. "We don't have to have any, but I'm not worried about your parenting at all. I'd only want them if you do, too. Plus, you can do plenty of research beforehand and become an expert." "I think I would like one," Kallus said slowly, smile tugging at the corner of his mouth. "If you would, and once it's safe." "Okay," Zeb said. "Okay," Kallus said. They sat and smiled at each other like idiots, the calf forgotten on their table. Telling everyone else was tricky. Kallus didn't want to say anything until they knew it was going to work, and Zeb didn't see why they couldn't. "It's private," Kallus insisted. "And I don't need to give Kanan any more reasons to look at me like he's laughing about my entire existence." Zeb wisely didn't comment on the Kanan thing. "They're my family," he said, for something like the fifth time. Kallus sighed. "I know," he said, also for the fifth time. They went back and forth about it for months, until Zeb's heat came for that year, and they had to tell Hera why they needed leave at the same time, and that it had to be now. "You made a decision," she said, smiling, and Kallus looked at her blankly. "About having a youngling?" she continued, smile slipping a bit. "I'm so happy for you." "Did you tell her?" Kallus demanded, glaring at Zeb, who put up his hands defensively. Hera realized her mistake and grimaced. "He didn't tell me," she told Kallus. "I guessed. But I'm still happy for you." "Well, since it isn't a secret anymore, yes, we need joint leave to go make a youngling," Kallus said, the tips of his ears burning red. "Permission granted," Hera said, grinning, and waved them off toward the Phantom. "Clean everything before you come back," she called, And Zeb laughed as Callus's face got even redder. Telling everyone else once they got back and had confirmed that Zeb was carrying their youngling was a breeze in comparison. "Are you... what is that?" Sabine asked, eyeing the messy pile of yarn in Zeb's lap as she walked into the cockpit of the Ghost. "Is that knitting?" Zeb looked up, still focused on undoing his last row of stitches. "Yeah, Chava's been cheating me on my visits," he said. "I'm not too good at it yet." "Why are you knitting? Actually, why are you knitting in the Ghost?" Sabine cocked her head, staring at him like he was a particularly confusing puzzle. "Gotta have stuff ready for the Joey, and I thought no one would bother me here," he explained. "And it turns out knitting helps me calm down. It's good for us both."
"It's pretty cute," Sabine said slyly. "You probably shouldn't let Ezra see, or he'll want to learn too."
Zeb turned his attention back to the tiny hat he was working on and shook his head. Humans were just too much trouble to understand sometimes. But once he finished the hat and started working on a sweater, Ezra had already talked someone into giving him knitting needles, and since Zeb didn't want to be shadowed for the rest of his pregnancy by a baby Jedi covered in knots of yarn, he gave the lessons. Lasat pregnancies didn't last very long, or require much change to the parents' daily routine. Zeb remembered his sister's first pregnancy, during which she'd won 3 different athletic competitions and beaten their older brother at arm wrestling. Most of the time, gestation gave the parent extra energy and strength, which was only logical since they had to nurture the fetus and themselves. No one, however, would believe that he was fine. Kanan wouldn't spar with him. Ezra kept staring at his stomach. Sabine offered to carry things for him, and Chopper didn't electrocute him, not even once. It was awful. "You're not getting sick?" Hera asked one morning, 3 weeks in, trying to give him a giant glass full of a tea that smelled terrible. "My aunts swear by this tea. It'll settle things even if you're not feeling it yet." "I feel great," Zeb protested, and took a long sip of calf instead. Hera gave him a disapproving look, but didn't push things. The next morning, he woke up to find himself alone on the bed, and almost tripped over Callus sleeping on the floor. "What on earth are you doing down there?" he said, rubbing the sleep out of his eyes. He was starving. Gestation required a lot of protein energy, not smelly tea. Callus jolted awake and jumped to his feet. "I was worried that you wouldn't have enough space," he said, and took Zeb's arm carefully. "Shouldn't you sit down? What do you want? I'll go get it for you." Zeb stared. Callus was cute like this, all sleep-rumpled and with pillow creases on his face, but he was making absolutely no sense. "I can get my own breakfast, and we got a new bed 2 years ago that is more than enough space for us both. What are you doing?" "Pregnancy is a time when your body has specific needs, and why are you quoting textbooks at me?" Zeb sat down and pulled Callus down with him. "Let me tell you again about Lasat pregnancies, since you didn't listen the last 3 times. I have more energy than ever, and I don't need any coddling, and I criffing swear I will tell you if that changes." Callus deflated. "I'm sorry," he said. "I've been an idiot, but I don't know what to do. This is not a situation where I know as much as I'm used to knowing." "Can't smart-ass your way through this one," Zeb said, and laughed at Callus's expression. "No, I suppose not," Callus said. "So I'll just have to trust you." Callus was true to his word after that, and Zeb wasn't sure how, but he must have done some yelling and enlisted Hera's help, because everyone else also returned to normal. Mostly. The base-wide knitting club he'd somehow become in charge of was still pretty strange. Zeb ran through the base, opening his comm and pinging Callus. "It's happening," he yelled, when Callus answered. He heard something at the floor and laughed. "I'm on my way. Don't move." He silently told his Joey to slow down. He wanted both its parents to be around when it finally decided to make its first appearance. He leapt over a few boxes in his way, then veered sharply to enter the corridor to the living quarters. Callus had their room's door open, and his face was paler than usual. "Should you be running?" he asked as Zeb came in and sat down. "Do we need a medical droid?" "I'm not even winded," Zeb scoffed. "It's fine. Come here, you'll be able to see it soon." Lasat didn't need medical droids for something as simple as a youngling's first appearance outside the pouch. Callus cautiously knelt on the floor and put a hand on Zeb's side. For a moment, nothing happened. Then, a small hand pushed through the slit in Zeb's shirt, placed at the right spot to only show if it was being used. Zeb felt himself tearing up, and Callus had bright eyes as well, both of them looking with awe at the little purple fingers. They didn't look exactly like the sawed hands, except for the size and the light purple fur, and Zeb felt strangely gratified at the visible proof that he and Callus had made this person together. "Come on, little one," he said encouragingly to the hand. "Your dads are waiting for you." "Is it okay to touch?" Callus asked, looking as though he would need to bite his hands to keep from reaching out. Zeb nodded. "Yeah, go ahead. They don't come out until they're ready to be cuddled." Slowly, Callus placed one finger on the small hand resting on the edge of Zeb's pouch, rubbing back and forth. A second hand soon joined the first, and then a tiny fuzzy head poked out, little Lasat ears flopping over a face that was both human and Lasat. "That's our baby," Callus said in a tone of disbelief. "I somehow didn't realize until now how much of both of us would be in it." The Joey made a chirruping noise, responding to Callus's familiar voice, and pushed itself further out of the pouch. "Hey there, little Joey," Zeb crooned. He reached up with one hand to encourage the Joey to climb all the way out of the pouch. It grabbed onto his fingers and wrapped itself around his hand. It was still very small, but would grow rapidly now that it was more independent. "I feel bad calling them an it," Callus confessed, not for the first time. Zeb rolled his eyes, also not for the first time, but he knew pronouns were a tricky topic for humans. "We don't know the sex yet, and we definitely don't know the gender, neither does it. Call it Joey if you want, then." The Joey climbed up Zeb's arm, then started looking quizzically at Callus, making a small cry and balancing its legs as if to start a jump. Even as infants, Lasat younglings had powerful legs, but Zeb preempted the jump by moving the Joey over to Callus's arms. "Here," he said. "The little one wants you." Callus carefully held their Joey in one hand, brushing several fingers over its small head with his other hand. He smiled at the Joey, a rare, unguarded look of fondness in his eyes. The Joey looked back with blinking eyes, human-shaped and surrounded by light-colored eyelashes, but with Lasat pupils and coloring. Zeb smiled at them both, and they sat together quietly for a while. Then reality intruded, in the form of Ezra banging on their door. "The baby's here?" he asked, his voice high with excitement. "Zeb went running out of the hangar like a maniac. Can we see?" Zeb sighed and got up, opening the door and letting Ezra in. Before he could shut it again, Sabine, Hera, and Kanan appeared, followed by Chopper, and he shrugged, resigning himself to sharing this moment with their whole family. Sabine was beaming and came over to punch Zeb's arm. "Congrats, big guy," she said. Chopper bumped against her legs and looked at the Joey, letting out a questioning series of beeps. "It's a baby, Chop," Hera said. "It's supposed to be tiny." "He's so small, though," Ezra said, uncharacteristically hesitant. Callus nodded and motioned Ezra closer. "You can touch," he said, acting confident, as if he hadn't been asking the same question 2 minutes earlier. The Joey looked up at Ezra and made a curious-sounding noise, reaching out a hand to touch Ezra's extended finger. Zeb sighed again. "We don't know its gender," he reminded everyone, as Ezra started babbling at the Joey. "Lasat younglings are Joeys until they decide what they want to be, and we won't choose a name for a while yet." Hera smiled and shared a fond look of exasperation with Zeb. Sometimes humans were a lot to handle. "It's beautiful," she said, and poked Kanan in the side. "Isn't it, dear?" "Amazing," Kanan said without a trace of sarcasm, one hand reaching out in a familiar gesture. "Very bright in the Force."
"Is he... it going to be a Jedi?" Ezra asked, distracted from the Joey by Kanan's words.
Kanan laughed as all the heads in the room suddenly turned toward him.
"I can't tell that now," he said. "I just mean it's a life with a lot of presence, and I can feel that."
Zeb felt an immense sense of relief. He did not need to be raising a Force-sensitive youngling. The The Joey took that moment to start yowling, pushing itself into Callus's stomach. Seb smiled.
"It's looking for your pouch," he explained,
and took the Joey back, letting it climb back inside the only pouch available.
"It needs lunch."
"That is so weird," Ezra commented, as the Joey disappeared into Zeb's pouch.
Zeb rolled his eyes again. "Human beings give birth to babies through a hole so small..."
He was cut off abruptly by Sabine punching him again, this time significantly harder.
"No one needs another installment in the humans are the weirdest species speech," she said.
"Shut up and let us enjoy the new baby."
"This is our Joey," he complained. "I can give as many speeches as I want."
"Quite right," Callus said. "And now I think visiting hours are over for a little while." After they'd regained some peace and quiet and the Joey was contentedly napping in the pouch, Callus said, "I think I owe you an apology."
"Hmm?"
Zeb asked, distracted by the way Callus kept running a hand down his side.
"Lasat reproduction is infinitely superior to human reproduction," Callus admitted in a small voice.
"Ha!"
Zeb shouted, then caught himself before he could wake the Joey.
"I told you," he continued in a quieter tone.
Callus smirked.
"Congratulations. You've won one argument. Don't get used to it."
Zeb just grinned and pulled Callus closer. They should start napping when the Joey did, or they'd quickly run out of energy. Lasat younglings were quite a handful. Epilogue. Zeb finished his last knitting project with a week to spare before the Joey would start wanting to spend long periods of time outside the pouch, and presented it to Callus with a flourish.
"Here," he said. "Now you can do your fair share."
Callus looked at the bundle with a bemused expression.
"My fair share of what?"
"Carrying the Joey," Zeb explained. "Here, I'll show you." He wrapped the knitted pouch around Callus's waist and arms, attaching it in the back, and scooped up the Joey from the floor, where it had been playing with blocks. It reached toward Callus, and Zeb encouraged it.
"Da?"
it asked, looking from the pouch to Callus's face. Callus smiled as he realized the point.
"You can do it," he said, nodding at the Joey as it pushed its head into the pouch.
Satisfied, it jumped all the way in and turned around, poking its head back out to look up at them.
"Da!"
it said. Zeb beamed.
"Thank you," Callus said. "I didn't even think to ask for this, but..."
"Don't mention it," Zeb replied, and kissed his cheek. The end.